Kowalski from Warsaw University.
Thank you very much.
Can
one university where I pretend it would be from Institute of Geography of Gravitational Physics and Geometry. The title of my talk is Black Hole Entropy. One of the most famous results of quantum of loop quantum gravity is identification of the liquid freedom which accounts for black hole entropy. In this result was to use Ashtekar bias for each quantum. They constructed some quantum black hole model which is based on the loop quantum gravity, however, some extra effort was necessary to really extract the black hole from the loop quantum gravity. And I started to report on a joint work with my student, who was his diploma thesis, and also on the work of Krzysztof Maśka, who was the referee. And later we exchanged some ideas with John Bias, and I learned from him some interesting stuff. I also want to mention about this. So let me very, very quickly recall the framework of Ashtekar, Bias, Rich, and Krasnov. So that the trick is to restrict our phase space, the classical phase space, only to the subset of all gravitational fields consisting of both gravitational fields which contain a black hole. Then it is, so in this framework, apart from the usual degrees of freedom, which are referred to as degrees of freedom in bulk, in some three dimensional. Manifold sigma of the initial data. There are also degrees of freedom defined on a fixed horizon. So there is fixed black hole horizon, and by definition, the student from horizon. And there are part of gravitational degrees of freedom also defines some degrees of freedom on this horizon. Basically, the degrees of freedom are just by continuity. Better be by maybe the freedom above. On the quantum level, they have some more freedom. So the Hilbert space consists of the loop quantum gravity Hilbert space and some other Hilbert space associated with the horizon. The horizon Hilbert space is understood as mathematically equivalent to the space of the Euler-Chern-Simons theory. However, the Hilbert space is not really this product. At the mathematical level is contained in this product. There is some extra quantum consistency condition which ensures that S is really a horizon. After solving the constraints, some notion, some structure of this space survive, but it's not any longer, the space is not any longer on this form. I will, in the next transcription, I will this time what I mean. The quantum constraints commute with the area operator. So in this framework, area that serves the parameter is fixed, so this is observable in commute with the space. So we can talk about area. And nice observation, nice result of this model is that you can really calculate some number which is not finite and which is not zero, and you can relate this number to the degree of to the number of quantum states which are responsible for certain classical areas. Okay, so now I will I have already reduced the amount of information which I'm going to present. So this is absolutely minimal amount of information. Those of you who are familiar with the framework will know what is hidden, and those who are not familiar don't have to learn more. And so this minimal information is that if we look only at the horizon, then after solving the constraints, the Hilbert space, horizon space, can be thought of the space of ordered sequences of integers modulo certain number k, which is called the level of the transcendence theory, and it is fixed forever, and I mean it's fixed in this model by some, so A is some fixed classical area, and K is just A divided by 4 pi L squared. Then people who designed the model found that this is an appropriate relation between the corresponding transcendence Hilbert space and this classical area. So the states of the horizon are all the sequences of transcendence. It's not one transcendence theory. It's like taking all the Euler transcendence theory given by all the functions, all the set of functions of the given horizon. And the full typical Hilbert space carries more labels, so it makes those labels B, which label the transcendence state, makes them related by some other labels, with labels which represent the gravitational degrees of freedom, and they don't really represent all the excitations of one would be okay. So they represent only those excitations which are relevant from the point of view of the horizon. And in particular, J's are irreducible representations of SU2, and they are relevant for the area of the horizon, whereas S are those usual eigenvalues of some fixed complement of the momentum operator, and they represent eigenvalues of certain flux operator, which is also can be related to the horizon. So the full Hilbert space is just given to you in some abstract way as orthogonal sum of some Hilbert spaces. All you know is that those Hilbert spaces are eigenspaces of certain operators. So they correspond to eigenvalues, the sequence of eigenvalues of the transcendence holomony operator, and they are also correspond to some eigenvalues of the area operator and this extra flux operator. And there is this quantum consistency condition, which I mentioned at the beginning, which ensures that we are really talking about horizon. And this quantum consistency condition says that actually those transcendence numbers are completely determined by the eigenvalues of the flux. Another definition of the entropy is that we have to count all the sequences of the transcendence degrees of freedom such that only those sequences for which there exist non-trivial subspaces which define area, which correspond to area and less equal than this fixed classical area. And all we have to do to calculate this entropy is to calculate the number of those transcendence states. So now I have another definition for you, which is purely combinatorial. So this combinatorial definition is when in order to calculate the entropy, you find a certain number, and this number is just the number of all the finite sequences of non-zero integers, such that the constraint is, it comes from the definition of the Chern-Simon Hilbert space. This is the sum of all the polynomials, all the polynomials have to sum to zero. And the inequality that I have to satisfy is this inequality. This is the minimal area which can be defined, which can be associated with such sequence, and the minimal area that has to satisfy is inequality. And how can you calculate this number if you are lambda? This is the entropy. This is what we are trying to do finally. This goal is accomplished. Okay.
Using the number of n squared and u, which statistics are you using? You say it's a volume error, or a volume error, or one, and you don't choose to do
it. I would refer to the issue of why we use this statistic. At the end of the talk, we can also take advantage of the presence of a y and those, so they can explain. So we are not imposing any, as far as I understand, we are not imposing any extra statistics. Like we don't define both of them. We just literally count all the. So we don't introduce any extra synthetizations of anti-synthetization. We just count all the sequences, all the sequences of each. But they are already not because of some statistics, but because this is, according to our construction, this is the dimension of the corresponding Chern-Simon Hilbert. So we just define certain Hilbert space, and we count the states of the Hilbert space. We don't apply any philosophy about extra symmetrization or symmetrizing and extra. We don't include any extra structure. It's just counting the numbers.
Why are you taking questions of what you're counting? So you're counting all the states that could correspond to a horizon of a fixed area. But which black holes are these? I mean, if I have a fixed area, could be Schwarzschild, could be Kerr rotating with any angular momentum around any axis.
So here I'm talking about this critically symmetric case.
How do you know? But you can certainly have states there which are not spherically symmetric.
but the starting point was that classical phase space was given by the spherically symmetric horizons. And well, it just turns out that after quantization, they are not spherically symmetric. Another aspect is that there is also extension of this phase space to the more general case of taking black holes, and I don't know the details of this structure, but as far as I understood, it gives the same results, so nothing essentially new.
Can I just interrupt? So one knows that they are not rotating because the classical level, there is a condition, a rising boundary condition, which explicitly excludes rotation. It's not satisfied when they are rotating black holes. It's like the only multiple of the black hole horizon that is allowed. The mass motion, that is encoded in the classical horizon boundary condition. And then, what is taking this boundary condition and imposing it as an algebraic equation, the operating equation. So, spherical symmetry is, or it's not spherical symmetry. Then the black hole has no other multiple moments other than the mass multiple is imposed to the quantum boundary.
Well, I think it's not obvious, but let's discuss it after.
Okay, so the first easier calculation which we did was the following. So since we realized that we are doing some new calculation, so we wanted to make sure in some easy way that the result will be still proportional, will be still bounded by some function proportional to the area. So the first goal was to show that the black hole entropy is really at least bounded by some by constant times area. And it was easy to show by using the following trick. It turns out that this leads to some other interesting discussions, so I want to stop at this point. So instead of the area which we really want to, which is given by our area operator, we define a different area operator. The only motivation for this definition is this inequality of the square root of m times m plus 1 is less equal m, bigger equal m. So if we replace the area operator by operator which has this kind of eigenvalue, then certainly the entropy is bigger. So you can show that the bigger entropy is again is proportional to the area, then it means that our entropy is bounded by this kind of function. And it's easy to explain what operator we use here. So in fact, there is certain ambiguity in defining quantum true area. Namely, we can define area, classically we can define area of surface by calculating the determinant of induced metric tensor, and this metric tensor has to be written in terms of our variables sigma I. So sigma I are our position variables, sorry, our momenta, our dynamical fields. So we turn this into an operator. But on the other hand, what we can do is we can calculate the flux of the vector field, which is normal to x. And in more general surface, we obtain the same. So the formula for this flux is, well, a little different. However, there is certain SU2 valued vector field, and from this vector field we can calculate this flux. However, if S is not the horizon, then the two formulae are equivalent. So we have in our quantum geometry we have a command area operator. However, in case when S is in the horizon, then those formulae are different. Why? Because in this framework, this framework gives us a certain direction, a certain vector field which takes values in SU2, which by definition represents the normal orthogonal vector field. So it doesn't depend any longer on the dynamical fields, so it's not quantized, and that's why we have two different operators. And now the eigenvalues, another operator we use, just to simplify our to derive this first upper, to derive this upper bound, are in fact eigenvalues of this flux operator, which at this point doesn't matter with the interpretation of this operator, but it will be important later when I will understand for such long derivations. Okay, so using this auxiliary operator, it's easy to solve this problem. This operator, we can, so thinking that area is given by this operator, we can easily show that there is the number we are looking for. If we call this number like this to distinguish this true number, that this number satisfies certain recurrence relations. And it's very easy to solve this recurrence simulation, and if the area was if the area was given by this operator, by this flux operator, then this would be the answer. This would be the answer. Modulo the subleading terms, which are involved in this situation. However, our operator is more complicated. So we have to find a lower bound, we found a lower bound in a similar way. But to save your time, I will just show you only historical relation which we found. So we found that if we calculate the immunity parameter from okay, so I guess that everybody is familiar with this said that once we show that entropy is proportional to the area, then we assume that this formula exactly coincides with the Bekenstein-Tolkien formula. And then it turns out that it can coincide only with gamma, if the immunity parameter gamma takes appropriate value. So it follows from those inequalities to be found that the immunity parameter has to satisfy this equivalent relation different than previously predicted. Okay, but we have also an exact result, so maybe it doesn't make sense to spend too much time looking at this inequality. So, it turns out that our recurrence relation can be also written for the precisely for exactly for the number we are really looking for the number which corresponds to this area of vector. And this, however, this recurrence relation looks very repulsive because here this recurrence is not with respect to natural numbers, bigger numbers, but with respect to squares and squares which are given by this formula, so it looks hopeless. However, Krzysztof Meissner showed that it's enough to use Laplace transform and refer to the previous result with this transparency area is bounded by some number is bounded by some exponential, by some exponent. And then the result, so that this exact result is that the entropy is of this form, it's proportional to the area, the leading term, where new constant appears. And this constant is given by the pole of this transform, and the pole is defined by this relation. So this is the relation which defines this number gamma f. And up to this point, this exact condition was ignored. However, if you now impose this condition, then it will govern you once again. However, it turns out that this condition never changes the leading term. It always produces the first subleading term. And this condition produces this kind of subleading term. So, and this is the numerical bound. So concluding, this goal was accomplished, and entropy was calculated as given by this formula, and gamma n is exactly given by this equation, and numerically is of this form, and one can even calculate quite exactly the corrections, the subleading. Okay. However, we remember that the previous result, which according to gamma had different numerical value, also led to different interpretation of what kind of states are really relevant from the point of view of the entropy. So according to the previous beliefs, only states of spin 1/2, plus minus 1/2, were sufficient to calculate the entropy. So in other words, the probability zero other spins could emerge. So now since we have diversity of spins, the question is what is probability that the given puncture horizon is charged with the given spin? Previously it was 1 for 1/2 and 0 for other for higher spin. So the question was asked and was raised by John, and I quickly checked that so what we do is we fix a value of spin and assume that in this sequence of spins, one of them is exactly the first one, say is exactly the same this value, and so we have to calculate this ratio of all the states, number of all the states which correspond to satisfy this condition, they can correspond to the value of the function, but this is the first function labeled by this spin, divided by all the spins, which, I mean, all the number of all the states which correspond to this area, value of area. So, and this calculation is quite easy, and it shows that this probability is exactly of this form. So when we assume, we also assume that area is large, so we go to the limit of this ratio when a goes to infinity, and the limit is this. So one could worry that if we go to some limit with probabilities, they may well not be probabilities any longer, for instance, all the rainbow to be. However, now we have another interpretation for that relation, which was for that equation which defines this coefficient gamma n, namely that previous equation which exactly defines gamma n, now in terms of this, in this notation, can be just written in this form. So it means that those numbers which we calculated are in fact sum to 1. So the condition of gamma may be translated in the following way, that it means that we can interchange the limit with this sum. And this is the condition on gamma. Gamma should take such value that allows us to interchange. Okay, and in terms of the entropy contributed by this kind of spin, we can write this probability in this form. Probably it means something, can we get some meaning from the view of statistics. Okay, so now let us turn to the famous relation between quasi-normal modes and the quasi-normal modes and the quantum black hole entropy. So, by doing this calculation, by correcting this value of the gravity parameter, by correcting our understanding of what the state contribute, we actually destroyed the typical argument which shows relation between the quasi-normal modes and gravity. However, it was pointed out by John that actually, if we use instead of the say true area operator, if we use this equivalent, this classic equivalent of a different area, which is given by this flux operator, which happens in this case to be a different operator than the area operator. So if we think of this operator and we can really take it as an area operator, then as let me recall the result of the previous conspiracy, that the corresponding entropy is of this scale, plus the sublimity terms. And now we can repeat Dreyer's argument. So, I mean, first we calculate gamma from relation to Bekenstein coding, so the deviation of black hole and Bekenstein coding. So this quantity has to be 1. So gamma is, satisfied this relation. Second, what we do is we calculate the gap. So now the spectrum has equal gaps, and the gap is this. And finally, we use this strange argument, which uses the classical relation between area and 2 pi radius of Schwarzschild squared, and just take delta of this relation, and next relate delta m to certain frequency times time constant, which is 1, and calculate by so assuming this, we can calculate this. So assuming such, defining actually such omega, and we can calculate the value of this omega. For some reasons, I put here subscript SU2, which means that we use SU2 gauge, and we describe gravity in terms of loop SU2. And we find that the value of this omega, which is defined in this calculation, is this. And apparently, this is the same as some frequency related with quasi-normal modes. So we again have this relation again with such. Okay, so you mean 0 or 1? Okay, so just two remarks. First remark is that this result is related with quasi-normal modes. Now it's independent on what gradient we use. So if we suggested previously by if we replace gradient SQ2 by SO3, then and repeat this calculation, we will get the same value. So the value is this relationship between this is independent also of what group we use. It doesn't force us. Secondly, I'd like to argue that this choice of this operator which we make here, this flux operator, is not so artificial, because after all, this operator also classically corresponds to the area. Maybe the drawback of this operator is that it is given by this framework, by this semi-classical approach to the horizon. But however, if we take this model seriously, then this operator is also a classical area, but just quantized in a different way. And the final remark is that so the organizers told me that actually the talks should not be technical, should not be too exact, there should be something which is maybe not true, but which opens some door. Okay, so here you go. So there was some quantum consistency relation, which I referred to several times, which really explains to the Hilbert space that the operation that we are doing is in vector theory, which really defines it. So we can rewrite this condition. So really, previously, A here was a fixed classical area. However, now we can replace this A with the area operator. And we can repeat the construction. However, now A is not any longer fixed. It's just given by eigenvalues of this area operator. And previously it was impossible, but with this choice of the area operator, this eigenvalue is compatible with Schrödinger's theory. So now we will have the Hilbert space which corresponds to all possible classical areas, not only to a it has some little different structure, but this kind of framework makes possible the thinking of quantum radiation, because now we have another disposal of all possible classical areas and quantum areas, so we can think of jump from one area to another. The drawback is that I'm not sure it is really true, because the derivation of this framework involves very careful analysis of transcendence of the Poisson bracket structure induced on the horizon. And I'm not 100% sure that you will end up with probably there will be some variation area also. No, but if we work on this one, it's not inconceivable that we cannot really make sense of this. So this already is the next one. So this is the second.
So this is meant that there are some subtle issues here. This is meant as something that I'm concerned with and not as a criticism. But what I'm concerned with is, I understand that classically what was quantized was a spherically symmetric black hole. Okay. But there's still an issue of whether just counting the states which arise is sufficient to, quote, count the entropy of the Schwarzschild black hole, whether there might be additional physical conditions that kicked out states, quantum states whose classical limit would be a Schwarzschild black hole or not. But let me just ask then how you would answer the following question. If you have states with very different J's adding up to the same area, then even if you quantize the spherically symmetric black hole, you certainly have states which are not spherically symmetric. And if you have states which are not spherically symmetric, you can take superpositions of them.